Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. We're going to read verse 22 to verse 33. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him to the other side. He sent the multitudes away. I'm sorry. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mount apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went up unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. God, bless us here today to receive your word. God, not only receive it, Lord, but apply it to our life. We give you the praise and the glory. Bless your servant to speak your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to talk to you this morning. If you want to walk on water, get out of the boat. Amen. If you want to walk on water, get out of the boat. You see, folks, in the Bible, often people experience and encounter with God that leads them in a different way in their life. You see, this pattern, if you read through the Bible, occurs over and over. God appears and he makes a call on an ordinary person. He calls people like Abraham. He calls people like Moses and David and Mary and, you know, on and on and on. And then almost always the person is quite afraid of what God is asking him or her to do. Do you ever kind of freeze up sometime when you felt God telling you to talk to somebody? Invite them to church and you're like, God, are you serious? Huh? Well, can you imagine Mary's? You're going to be with child? What? I mean, that had to be the biggest shock of all. I mean, she hadn't even been with a man. What happened? Think about it. You know, Moses, you're going to lead people out of Egypt, the strongest nation on the face of the earth at that time, militarily and everything. What? You know, think about it. It often leaves these people afraid. But they had to make a decision. Anybody ever heard of Helen Keller? Huh? A few of you? Three of you? Well, she once said this statement, "Life is either a daring adventure or it is nothing at all." Life is either a daring adventure or it is nothing at all. Now think about it, folks. If you don't know Helen Keller, you can go look her up. I'm sure Google will tell you all about it, or DuckDuckGo or whatever. Those words are so true no matter who said them, okay? But coming from someone who lived a life like Helen Keller is worth consideration. Helen was born blind, deaf, and unable to speak. Somehow, Helen found a way out of the darkness and into a world around her. So Helen's story is one of the great miracles of the 20th century. And millions of people have been inspired by her story. If you don't know it, you should read it. But folks, I ask you to consider Helen's story. Life is either a daring adventure or it is nothing at all. So when you apply this quote to the spiritual realm, it looks something like this. The life of faith is inherently a life of risk. So in the Bible, look at the men and the women who did great things for God, almost without exception. They were risk takers who weren't afraid to lay it all on the line for God. Noah built an ark. Folks, it had never rained up until this time. Noah was asked to build an ark. Think about that. Abraham left Ur of Chaldee to go to a promised land. Abraham was a wealthy man, had a great family, and he says, I'm leaving. Abraham, where are you going? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, God told me to go. He'll show me where. Are you out of your mind? Moses led the people out of Egypt, a great country. Joshua marched around the walls of Jericho. David defeated Goliath. Elijah faced down the prophets of Baal. Esther risked everything to save her people. Daniel refused to defile himself with the king's food. Nehemiah led the Jews to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And the stories go on and on and on. But you discover, folks, that the men and women in the Bible who accomplished great things for God weren't content to accept the status quo. See, they thought that more could be done if only somebody would lead the way. You ever think about that yourself? And if we could just get somebody to lead us to do this and do this and do this, what's wrong with you? Huh? There's a lot of people who are very good at saying, well, we ought to do this, and we ought to do that, and we ought to have this, and we ought to have that. There you go. Talk to me. I'll give you the job. How about saying, you know what, somebody ought to do it, and that somebody ought to be me. Come on. And when nobody else would step forward, these people who thought that more could be done if only someone would lead the way, when no one else would step up forward, they themselves said, I'll do it. I'll do it. And folks, when our children come to Sunday school, going down to these classes like they just did, what stories do we tell them? We tell them about Moses. And he's in the brushes there in a basket. We tell them about these great things. And how he grew up in Pharaoh's house. And how God took him out in the wilderness and said, I want you to lead my people. We tell them stories about David who killed lion and who killed a bear and killed Goliath. We tell them of great things. We like to hear great testimonies of what God has done. But how about having your own testimony? Come on. How about allowing God to use you to do great things and having a testimony of your own? So we tell our children these stories and they love to see the great heroes of faith in Noah and Abraham and Moses and David and Daniel, all the rest. We talk about those brave men and women who laid it on the line for their God. These are the people that we hold up before our children. These are the models that we want them to follow. I heard something coming in this morning on the car. And a man was talking about how we tell our children, you need to eat your green, you know, your vegetables because it'll help you grow. And you need to do good and get good grades in school so you can go to college. You need to go to college so you can be smart and get a good job. And then when they get older, we say, well, if it's God's will. Huh? Folks, we need to have that testimony in our say, if you serve God with all of your heart, and if you get involved in everything, God will use you. Don't say if it's God's will. We should know that in our heart, just like we do, we know that if they eat their fruits and vegetables, it's good for them. Come on. We should know that, and without a doubt. You've heard these stories in Sunday school. We've read them to you in books here before you go to bed. And amen, and you believe that God, He will use you just like He did David. Just like He did your dad. Just like He did your mom. Come on. Come on, folks. We hold these people in the Bible up before our children, and we should. But we need to get to a place where God uses us and say, let me tell you what God did with me. Let me tell you how God blessed my life. Come on, folks. Telling our children these stories is the right thing to do. Because the life of faith is inherently a life of risk. Folks, if you are unwilling to take a chance, hear me today. If you are unwilling to take a chance, you can never discover what living by faith is all about. If you have to have all the answers before you make a decision, if you are afraid to take a step unless you know that things will work out to your advantage, faith will always be a mystery to you. Peter walking on the water in Matthew 14. Jesus here, folks, in this story, he's on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And it's late in the day, and Jesus had just performed the miracle of feeding 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And after dismissing the crowd, he sends the disciples on ahead to the other side of the lake and telling them that he would join them later. After he dismissed them, he went up into the mountainside to pray. And as the disciples began to sail across the lake to this enormous storm blows up. Matthew's story in verse 25 says, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. They thought it was a ghost, they said. And they cried out in fear. See, we can understand their fear. Because they've been all night, they've been rowing and rowing and rowing. Seemed like to get nowhere. Sounds like some trials and storms come in your life. Sometimes it seems like you get nowhere. No matter what you do. And they can't seem to make it to shore. They are dead tired. Every muscle in their body is aching. The wind is howling all around them. Rain pelts them from every side. They are cold. They are tired. They're flat out waterlogged. Plus, they are grumpy. They're hangry. Frustrated. Come on. Trials can get us this way, isn't it? Things that come up in our life can just frustrate us. And sometimes, God, where are you? But Jesus, as they see him coming, they're afraid. They think it's a ghost. And Jesus says immediately to them, he says, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. And then there's old Peter. We love Peter, don't we? Peter stands up from the boat. He sees Jesus walking in the water. He says, Lord, if it's you, Lord. And he says these famous words, bid me to come. Bid me to come. Peter saw. He saw the stormy waters. He was in this boat, somewhat safe. Been toiling all night, but at least they had the boat. Peter walked, got out of that boat, and walked on the water. So he asked to leave this comfortable spot. Bid me come, Lord. Let me walk to you. You see, when you see your children playing tag, often there's that one who never roams too far from the safe zone. You ever see that one? Right? But there's other ones running all over, but there's that one. He's like over here taunting the living daylights out of the one that's it. But he don't leave far. Right? You see that one. They don't want to get away too far from safety. And we all, too often, folks, are prone to want to stay with what we are familiar with. We also so often want to stay with what we are comfortable with. We are willing to maybe stick our hand and foot in the water. Peter, look at him. He's out there walking in the water as we're splashing around. Whew. Little chilly. Right? But we don't want to get out of the boat. Even though there's a storm going on, we're still in the boat. It hasn't sunk. You see, we're afraid. We're afraid to be like Peter, say, Lord, bid me to come also. Well, Peter, he jumps at things. Sometimes he don't even think things through. He just goes. He don't think things through. I know a little better. I'm safe in the boat here. I'm not getting out on that crazy water. Huh? Is that how they probably looked at Peter? He runs his mouth off too without thinking. He does all kinds of stuff. He's crazy. He took a sword. Well, that was later. You see, but folks, there are so many uncertainties with Peter stepping out of that boat. It's so much easier for me to stay here in the boat. Think about that. Not on Peter's sinking, but think about what this. But more on those that stayed in the boat being afraid to ask the Lord, bid me to come too. Think about this story. We always think about Peter, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but he walked out there and he began to sink. But I want you to think about those that are in the boat who are wanting to stay comfortable. Who didn't want to take that same chance that Peter took. I'm talking about if you want to walk on water, folks, you got to get out of the boat. If you want to do something great for God, and many of you raised your hand here today, you got to get out of the boat. You can't stay and do something great for God and stay in the boat. Stay where it's comfortable. Stay with familiar surroundings. Why is it that none of the other disciples got to experience the miracle of walking on the water? Why were they not able to walk beside Jesus? Simply because they did not ask, bid me to come. Peter is not being impetuous here. You see, Matthew is very clear that Peter, folks, asked permission to do what he did. But Jesus didn't say no. He said, come. So Peter stepped out of the boat. Now, how can you criticize him for that, right? He got out of the boat. Faith, folks, hear me today. Faith equals concentration on Jesus. Faith equals concentration on Jesus. You see, we must not miss the force of Jesus' words. When he said, take courage, when he's walking to them, and they're afraid, they see him, they think he's a ghost. And he says, take courage here today. It is I. Don't be afraid. What do you mean, don't be afraid, God? It's a storm out there. We've been tossed all night. I wore out. Bailing water out of the boat and rowing and rowing and rowing and putting up this and doing that. What do you mean, don't be afraid? This thing's been throwing me all over. Now, understand, these were experienced fishermen. They've been around storms, folks. But this was a doozy. And here they see Jesus coming first. They're afraid it's a ghost. And he says, take courage, it's I. But don't be afraid. He used an expression that disciples would immediately understand. The phrase, it is I. is the Greek version of God saying in Exodus, I am. I am. See, Jesus, folks, Jesus is the God who in the Old Testament miraculously delivered his people again and again. It is not just saying, Jesus saying, don't worry, it's me. I'm not a ghost. It's Jesus saying, I am the Lord. I'm the God of the universe. Don't be afraid of the storm. You see, so often, folks, God, we go through things and we get our eyes focused on other things and we're not focused on God. And Jesus is telling us here, don't be afraid of the storms. I got your back. Come on. I got your back. I'm the God of the universe. You see, I created this universe. I can speak to it. I created the wind. I created the waves. I sent the storm. You see, folks, whenever we go through a storm, God wants us to learn something so we go to another level. But it's all on how we accept that storm. Come on. He says, I created the wind, I created the waves, I sent the storm, and it is the Lord himself who tells Peter, come on, Peter, come on out on the water. Come on out. You see, folks, when Jesus comes, when he says comes, you need to obey. I said, when Jesus says come, we need to obey. Amen? And I believe that God has asked many here, or at least a few, to come in certain directions, and we're saying, I like the boat. I know this boat. You want me out on that water? Yeah, I want you to do something great for me. Come. You want me to step out in the water? I'll put my toes in it. Ooh, glory. Huh? Oh, come on, we did stick our toes out in what he asked us to walk on. Ooh. We get that touch from God, but folks, God wants to do so much more. He says, come out here. I want you to do something great for me. We need to obey. When he says walk, we need to walk. You see, in Peter's case, think about this, folks. Jesus speaks and he says, I'm the Lord of the universe. I speak this and it stops. I tell the storm to go, it comes. All these things. He says, when he tells Peter to come, where do you think Peter's safer? If Jesus says, come out here, Peter, is he safer on the water than in the boat? If the God of the universe tells you to step out on the water, are you safer on the water or are you safer in the boat? Come on. Huh? Light went off. Ding. At that moment, the smartest thing Peter could do was to get out of the boat. Peter on the water, folks, he turns and he walks to Jesus. He walks toward Jesus. His master walks toward him. Everything goes fine until Peter notices the storm around him. Now remember, the storm never stopped. All right? They're fighting this storm. Jesus walks up. You know, they're already afraid of the storm. They see this, what they think is a ghost. They're even more afraid. And Jesus says, hey, it's me. Don't be afraid. Peter says, can I come? Bid me to come. Come on. The storm is still going on. Everything goes fine until Peter notices the storm. And during all this commotion, the rain has been coming down in sheets. Behind him, the ship that they were in is bobbing in the waves. And Matthew tells us when he saw the wind, he was afraid. You see, but the wind was there all along. The storm was raging for hours. It never stopped. But look what Matthew tells us in verse 30. He says, when he saw the wind, he was afraid. You see, it's not as if it let up at all and Jesus began to walk it on the water and said, Jesus comes in the midst of the storm. No. According to verse 32, it says the wind doesn't die down until Jesus and Peter both get into the boat. Folks, faith is consecration on Jesus. That very helpful because we need to get rid of the distractions in our lives. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your focus on Jesus. But there's a storm. Keep your focus on Jesus. It's not always easy to keep your eyes on Jesus in the middle of the night. When the raging storm and the fears threaten to overwhelm you, it's not easy to keep your eyes on Jesus. I understand that today. But the story of Peter, folks, reminds us that not only does God control the storm, and not only does he send the storm, he reveals himself in the midst of the storm. Amen. Come on, folks. That's what God wants you to see. Amen. Look, I'm the God of the universe. I created wind. I created the wave. I created all this stuff. I sent the storm. But stay your focus on me. Don't take your focus off of God. It doesn't matter what you're going through here today, folks. Keep your focus on God. Amen. If God bid me to come, I don't care of the storm raging all around me. I just want to be close to you. Think about it. Peter wanted to be close to his God. He saw him. God, if that's you, let me come. But there's a storm going on, Peter. I don't care. I just want to be close to God. Very often, our purest vision of Christ comes when the storm of life threatens to capsize that boat. What do we do then? We pray for consecrating faith. We focus on Jesus. Folks, the wind always blows around us. The mighty storm comes sooner or later. There's always a storm that's going to come up sooner or later in your life. Amen? But we have no choice or control over when those storms come. Right? Today, hear me today, folks, the sun may be shining, but tomorrow we may find ourselves toiling against the wind, toiling against the rain, tossed about with adversity. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Life can turn on a dime. We know that. But what happened to Peter, folks, can happen to any of us. You see, for a brief moment, Peter forgets about Jesus. And he remembers who he is. And he remembers where he is. Think about that. Peter says, Lord, bid me come. I just want to be close to you. But for a brief moment, he remembers, hey, I'm just old Peter. I'm just flesh and blood. Oh, I'm not in the boat. I'm standing on the sea. For a brief moment, that's what hits his mind. I'm just Peter. I'm a Galilean fisherman. I never went fishing walking on the water. I was always in a boat. Always had some kind of safety. I am a fisherman. I belong in the boat. But you took that step, Peter. I know. I just wanted to be close to my God. And his mind comes to a quick conclusion. I'm not supposed to be walking on water. You see, this is impossible. When he lost his consecration on Jesus, he began to sink. Now, you think Peter failed? he did fail. At least in one significant way, Peter failed because he took his eyes off of Jesus. Jesus, his faith, Peter's faith wavered and he sank. Now there, folks, listen to this though. There were 11 bigger failures still in the boat. Peter did fail. But there are 11 other ones back there too. Didn't even get out of the boat. They failed quietly. Their failure went unobserved and usually uncriticized. Peter experienced a few things that they didn't experience. You see, only Peter knew the glory of walking on water. Only Peter knew. You see, folks, when people walk on water, when people trust God and experience God's power, enabling them to do what they couldn't do otherwise, it marks them. It marks them. Folks, Peter carried to his grave the memory of walking on water. That's exciting. Another thing, folks, only Peter knew when he sank that Jesus would be there. Only Peter knew that. And he was able to save him. When he started to sink, he said, "Lord, save me." He cried out right away. You see, the other disciples could not know that because they never got out of the boat. 11 others never got out of the boat. They didn't know what it was like to walk on water. They didn't know what it was like even when they lost faith and they began to sink. They didn't know that they could cry out to Jesus and say, "Save me." They didn't experience that. This is a fundamental truth. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. If you want to experience, folks, the power of God in your life, amen, you have to take a step of faith. And you know what else? It involves obedience. Jesus said, "Come." Folks, when we learn to discern the calling of God in our lives, and we respond with yes, and we get out of the boat, we really do experience God's power in our lives like never before. See, what keeps us from getting out of the boat? What keeps us from doing that? Fear keeps us from fully trusting God and experience what God wants us to do. Another thing that keeps us from getting out of the boat is comfort. You see, comfort is one of the primary appeals, even in faith. The other 11 disciples were kind of boat potatoes. Right? Instead of a couch potato, boat potatoes. They were willing to follow Jesus, but they wanted him to comfort them in the midst of the storm. You see, in the storm struck everybody. It struck Peter and the other 11. The other 11 wanted Jesus to comfort them while they're in the boat. Peter says, "Can I come to you? That's where I need to be. God, whatever you want me to do, I just want to be with you." He says, "Come." He says, "I will." But the other 11 disciples didn't want to risk getting out of the boat. Peter got out of the boat, and he didn't do it just because it would be exciting. His primary reason was that that's where Jesus was, and that's where I want to be. That's why he wanted to get out of the boat. Jesus, folks, was out of the boat on the water. And Jesus, folks, he is still looking for people who are willing to get out of the boat. And when somebody decides to get out of the boat, they are never quite the same again. And Jesus is still looking for people to get out of their boats. Now, I don't know what this means for you today. But when we take God's call seriously, and we have the faith to get out of the boat, something is going to change in your life like never before. Now see, it may be quite visible, or maybe nobody will ever notice it at all except for Jesus. But your life will never ever be the same. And your world will never ever be the same if you'll just get out of the boat. When you fail, and you will fail, because there is a storm out there somewhere. The wind is rough and the waves are high. When you fail, Jesus, folks, is still able to save. Come on. He really is. But to find out, you have to do one thing. You have to walk on water. You've got to get out of the boat. Now back in the boat, the other disciples were watching this whole scene go forth. Their mouths were probably dropped wide open. Their eyes probably big as saucers. They never dreamed such a thing was even possible. It says, and when they climbed, Peter and Jesus, when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. See, let me look at two observations about Peter. Peter, if you had just kept your eyes on Jesus, you wouldn't have sank, right, Peter? Folks, give him credit because he was willing to do what nobody else was willing to do. Before you come down too hard on Peter, taking his eyes off of Jesus, just remember there were 11 disciples back in that boat watching the whole thing. And before you sink, you have to be on the water. And as long as you stay in the boat, you will never sink. But you'll never walk on water either. Amen? Now think about it, folks. The story is not the story of Bartholomew walking on water. You know why? Because Bartholomew stayed in the boat. You don't read the story about Matthew walking on water because Matthew stayed in the boat. This is not the story about James walking on water because James stayed in the boat. This is about Peter walking on the water because he was the only one with the courage to get out of the boat. Amen? And maybe some others wanted to. Maybe they would have if Peter would have stayed out there a little bit longer. Oh, look, Peter's doing it. Can I come too? But give Peter credit. He did it, and they didn't. And that's why this story is about Peter, and the other 11 aren't even mentioned. It says they're disciples, but it doesn't mention them by name. And before you criticize Peter today for having little faith, always remember, a little faith is better than no faith. Amen? Because that's what those other guys had that stayed behind. No faith. And when Jesus called Peter little faith, he was not rebuking Peter for attempting too much. But he was criticizing him for or rebuking him for trusting too little. You see the difference? You see the difference? Jesus is not saying, Peter, you should have stayed in the boat. Jesus did not rebuke Peter for getting out of the boat. You could have walked across the whole lake, Peter, if you'd just kept your eyes on me, if you'd just trusted me. Jesus calls us to find out, folks. He calls us to find out what he is doing in the world around us. And then to stepping wholeheartedly into his cause. What Jesus is doing, what God is doing in this whole world, he wants us to say, I want to be where Jesus is. Come on. Will you step out of the boat today? Will you step out and trust in your God and whatever he's calling you to do? You see, in the end, who looks better? Peter who tried and sank, or the other 11 who didn't try? See, there's a reason why we don't preach about the other 11. They played it safe. Only Peter took the risk. And that's why, folks, we're still talking about him after some 2,000 years. Folks, let's stand here today. I realize that it's risky to walk on water. I realize that. It's possible that you might sink. But you'll never know until you get out of the boat. What's God calling you to? What's he calling you to when he says, come? Come on, get out of the boat. I believe that Jesus was very proud of Peter that day. Come on. I believe when he saw Peter put his leg over that boat, he's like, that's my guy. That's my boy Peter, man. He's a good guy. And I believe that God is looking for people today to say, all right, God, here I come.